Welcome to the ESPC Property Show. I'm one of your hosts, Megan, and I'm just here to give you a little bit of an intro to this week's episode. This week, we are actually taking an excerpt from a previous episode. This is a part two from our episode two, which was with Mike Heffron from Under One Roof. In that episode, we spoke to Mike about homeowners associations, but while we spoke to him in that interview, we also chatted through how to retrofit tenement buildings. And we really, really thought that that part of the conversation was really insightful. But just to save that episode being too long, we decided that we would keep it for a part two. So this is part two. We wanted to just let you know to bear in mind also that this episode was recorded in February. So a few of the pieces about legislation and the Scottish Government are maybe slightly out of date, and there's been some changes since then. We speak about the Heating and Buildings Bill. We do have an article on ESPC.com that details more about that, and I'll link that in the show notes. But other than that, I hope you enjoy the episode, and here's our chat with Mike. We wanted to talk about retrofitting and getting your tenement flat ready for the future, making it more energy efficient, and we know a lot of legislation is potentially coming into play. So I wondered if you could give us a description of maybe some of the ways that the homeowners in these traditional tenements can make their homes a bit more energy efficient.
Well, you're absolutely right to point out that that is the future. I mean, as we sit here at the end of February, the Heat and Buildings Bill is currently under consultation with Scottish Government, and that's closing in the first week of March. And that is setting out basically sort of looking to get feedback about the rules that Scottish Government is looking to implement with the Heat and Buildings Bill that they want to lay down in September of this year. And there's going to be a lot of rules about what are the responsibilities of different kinds of homeowners when it comes to energy efficiency and zero carbon heating systems. When it comes to tenements, it's going to be a very particularly tricky one. Tenement buildings, old and new, have a lot of challenges, particularly the traditional buildings have a lot of real challenges when it comes to doing energy efficiency work, finding ways to heat them using zero carbon heating systems. Just to touch on one of the sort of the tricky bits before we get onto some potential solutions, insulation is often talked about as the way to sort of solve the problem about energy efficiency, and oftentimes it certainly is the way to do so. Where that runs into problems is particularly with historic, traditional, pre-1919s, as we call them, buildings built before pre-1919 that were built of sandstone in particular. So if you're talking about putting insulation up, there's two issues with those kinds of historic buildings, those traditional buildings. One is the aesthetic sort of look of it. I mean, imagine putting exterior insulation on all of the beautiful old sandstone buildings you find in the New Town, for example. Not just in the New Town. Yeah, so it's almost a non-starter. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a beautiful sort of element of Scottish architectural history that we wouldn't want to lose. The second bit, though, is there's a practical reason not to do that. Those buildings are made of sandstone. If you slap insulation on the outside of it, the sandstone is meant to breathe. The stone, the water over the course, the moisture over the course of a year will move in and out of that stone. If you were to put insulation on the exterior parts of those buildings, it would dry it out, it would definitely seal it, and then the entire interior bit would crumble, right? So that's something that you're just not going to see with those traditional buildings. That does work in more modern construction. So there are projects currently going on. The council's actually got an interesting project going out in Westerhales with social housing, which has a mix of social housing but also private tenants as well, where they're doing a vast amount of insulation work on 60s and 70s, that's what council flats, which are going to make a huge difference to the energy efficiency and reduce fuel poverty out there. And that's doable in other areas. But with the old historic buildings, not so much. Interior insulation is also problematic for some of the same reasons with the building construction and the kind of walls that were built, but also simply generally with tenements. Interior insulation work, first of all, has to kind of be done throughout the entire building. It doesn't make sense to insulate your flat because the heat will just go into, it'll escape into another flat, which is colder. And so you'll just end up with the same problem. It's coming in through different ways. The other issue is tenements by their very nature, flats by their very nature, are small spaces. If you're in a detached or semi-detached home, you can possibly move to the other side of the house over the course of a week. If you're in a tenement flat, there's nowhere really to go when you're talking about that amount of work that needs to be done for interior insulation. So you're going to have to decant from the building and possibly move out. And, you know, maybe the builders say it'll take a week, and maybe the builders don't always are accurate when it comes to how long it takes them to do things for whatever reason. And suddenly, oh, we couldn't get the material. It's going to be another week before we're waiting on this one thing. Next week, you know, you're a month out of your flat. You've got children that, like, where are you staying? How are you getting your children to school? All those kinds of issues. So those are significant challenges that need to be addressed. When it comes to, and so that's on the energy efficiency side. There is some hope, by the way. I promise I'll get to the hopeful bits at the end. But with the energy efficiency side, or sorry, with the decarbonization and heating systems, there are different challenges there. We often heard about heat pumps as a potential solution. And heat pumps, first of all, they do work. Don't let anyone tell you that they don't in Scotland. They definitely do. They work ideally for detached and semi-detached homes. Where you get into problems with heat pumps is when it comes to tenement flats. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. You're talking about individual heat pumps, which are sort of, these are the sort of air source heat pumps that are what most people talk about when they're talking about that. There are other kinds as well. But those units sitting outside in the back garden, well, that back garden is going to be common area. So you're going to need, you would need at least a majority of the other owners probably to agree to it if your title deed say, or the Tenement Act definitely does says that the back garden is a communal area. But the other problem is the Tenement Act is silent on the issue of those kinds of heating systems. So the general feeling is that, and it hasn't been challenged in court, but essentially is that those are something that would be called improvement. I talked about the difference between needing majority of owners to go ahead with repair and maintenance. Something that's considered an improvement needs all of the owners to go forward with it. So improvement generally would be something like if you wanted, you just didn't like the color of the close and you wanted it to be green rather than blue. There was no reason to do it. You just thought it would be nicer. You need everybody to agree to go ahead with that repair and to pay. Repair or maintenance, though, you only need that majority. Now, something on this topic of energy efficiency, insulation is actually, because of an amendment to the Climate Change Act that was passed, I think, in 2010, that is considered repair or maintenance. So even though you're improving the energy efficiency of the building, in reality, actually, that is considered something that only needs a majority of owners to go forward with. So heat pumps are for individuals are particularly problematic because you could have 8 or 9 flats. You got 8 or 9 And units think, out in the back garden, that's not going to really work.
I think without doing the insulation, you can't do the one thing, can you? It's part of a whole approach to the building itself.
So that's the interesting thing about it. So that heat and buildings bill that I was talking about, one of the things that they're looking on putting on a responsibility for what you have to do with energy efficiency, so hitting certain standards of energy efficiency and then decarbonizing your heating system. Now, what they are looking at, the way they're looking at it, it seems at this point, is to put a higher sort of responsibility on landlords to increase the energy efficiency.
Yeah. Now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the thing is they've actually changed that around a little bit about how they're measuring that because they're changing how they measure
the EPCs.
So there's a separate bill that's going to be going around about changing EPC. Because right now you could actually improve the energy efficiency of your flat. But that would somehow, the way that it's measured, reduce your, you could go from a C to a D. So they're changing it around because it's a terrible way to measure energy efficiency the current way. So they're going to change, I think, it to it actually accurately measures it. But you're in a situation where you need, if you're a landlord, you really need to address both because the energy efficiency will tighten up the amount of heat that is lost. But it's the, and then you're putting in some sort of zero carbon heating system. Now, if it's not energy efficient and say you're an owner occupier, if you're willing to pay the money, you can blow as much of that heat out of the sort of the drafty windows as you want because you're responsible for it. It's up to you. If you want to do the energy efficiency stuff, well, that makes a lot of sense for you because you'd save money. Landlords, it's a different situation, of course, because the energy efficiency stuff needs to be done otherwise because it's the tenant that has to actually pay the bill rather than the landlord. So you really want the landlord to be held to a higher standard to improve the energy efficiency so then the tenant moves in and they're not losing. So they don't want to be paying the high bills. So there are going to be different duties, and there's going to be different timings too. So landlords, private landlords, are going to be responsible for making those changes a lot earlier than owner-occupiers, which at this point they're looking at having the responsibility for getting decarbonized heating for owner-occupiers is all the way back to like 2045. So we're talking 20 years. Uh-huh. Landlords, on the other hand, we're talking energy efficiency measures in place in 3 years.
Yeah, and so, new build practically.
Yeah, and with new builds, they're sort of like, and that makes actually, that probably makes the most sort of ease as far as doing it, is for new builds to actually just be getting on with it, and because it doesn't make much sense to be.
I mean, I do think technology will find a way. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's part of its origin, but my brother had some flats in Berlin, and you went there, and they had almost like a communal boiler and heating for the entire block, and then for the road, you know, might have been, I think it was in the east part of Germany, east part of Berlin. But you know, that idea that maybe there's a communal heating solution that might come, I don't know. No, nobody really knows.
And that's where this gets to the issue then of, because I was all doom and gloom there about what doesn't work. There are solutions to work. So starting with what we talked about last, the decarbonizing the heating in Scotland. Individual heat pumps are probably not workable in most situations when it comes to tenement buildings. However, there are two particularly options that you can look at as solving that problem. And they're both from a communal perspective. One would be a communal heat pump. Yeah. So you'd have one heat pump in the back garden or on the roof that would be responsible for all the flats in the building. They're looking right now, there are a number of organizations, both I think Glasgow City Council, I can think of at least three or four off the top of my head, that are looking to do pilot projects on this, to sort of fund and see how the process would go through, see where the barriers would be to having one heat pump that would take care of an entire building. The other one, which is probably even more likely as a solution, is district heating. And this is a situation, and there we go. So the district heating is something that actually probably is the best solution for tenement buildings. And this is something that wouldn't be just for the building. It would be for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So you would have a heating system that would be located in a neighborhood, and it would provide piping that would be piping the hot water to all of the homes, detached homes, businesses, tenement buildings, whatever, in a certain area. Each one of the councils right now has put together something called the LHEES, and this is a local heat and energy plan. Edinburgh is consulting on that now. The consultation ends in early part of March as well, and you can look it up online and take a look at and see what they're thinking as far as sort of different areas of the city that would fall under communal heating provisions. And obviously it would be the most, makes a lot of sense. It'd be the most dense areas.
It sounds quite radical, but when you really think about electricity, you don't generate, well, sometimes you generate your own, but it's the same principle, isn't it? You know, that it's coming from one supply and you're just part of that. You're getting from the grid.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in this case, this would be heat, right? Yeah, the heat. There's a long history, of course, of this in Scandinavia. If you're up in Iceland, it's the same, though you're getting it, funnily enough, you're getting your heat heated from volcanoes up there. But the principle has been well tested. And it makes sense for large urban areas. It's not something you're not going to see district heating out in rural areas or in smaller communities where you might have a tenement building or two on the high street. You could potentially if there's enough. But this is something that, unlike a heat pump, it's not something you can go out and buy district heating. This is going to require major capital investment from government and from private entities to do. It's going to be a lot of disruption. You're talking about putting piping through the entire city.
More roadworks around Edinburgh.
Hot water. Hopefully, the upside of that will be cheaper heat. So that is the benefit. That's something that's going to take a good 10 to 15 years to come around. But the way that at least how the Heaton buildings bill and how they're looking at this is that, and this makes, to me, is one of the things that does make a lot of sense. There's a lot of bid in there that might be problematic for tenement buildings, but one of the things that does make the most sense is that if you are in one of those identified areas, and like I said, you can look these up on the LHEES bit of the Edinburgh Council website or any other council, all councils are responsible for them. If you're in that area identified on the map, you will not be responsible for hitting the target of having to have your heating system decarbonized by a certain date. So in other words, if you're a landlord and you're responsible for having a zero carbon heating system in the flat that you own by a certain date, but you're in the district heating.
You're exempt.
You're exempt until that has been installed. And then you have to make a choice to make whether or not you wanted to join it. You obviously probably most likely would.
Yes.
Because it would make the most sense. But you're exempt until that point at which that you would have to do that. So that's the heating side of things. That's the decarbonization side of things. When it comes to energy efficiency, that's sort of a different matter because those are the kind of things you actually can do yourself. And there are a number of organizations out there that will help you do that. For example, here in Edinburgh, there is an organization called Edinbrick, and I think we can put something up in the program description with a link to them. They're just a local community group that is made up of volunteers that will come around to your flat and identify, okay, well, they've got some areas here. They've got sometimes they've got cameras that can identify where there's heat is leaking out, and they will basically they can help you with draft proofing. They can help release bits of the building that you might not have even known were there. So for example, in a traditional building, you might have wooden shutters that have been 50 years ago were painted over and covered up and stuff like that. If you can get those shutters to come back out again and shutting those windows, you lose so much energy in a historic building from windows. So being able to use the building that are already there to identify little energy efficiency project, what we call low or no regret solutions. And the idea is that it's all based on in the local communities. Portobello in particular has something called the Retrofixers. And they basically, what they do is they'll come around to your flat, but then they'll teach you and then you'll go around and help other people in the community. And they sort of go out and do this on a community-wide basis. And that's something we talked about, the big stuff, having district heating coming in with private finance and government. This is something that can be done at an extremely local level that people can be to pick up around. There's other organizations. There's one called Local Homes, which identifies people that want to get zero carbon heating systems and then do energy efficiency work and match them up. They work with suppliers and they sort of act as a middle ground. They're a cooperative organization, so you're just sort of become a member of it actually. But it's in somewhat ways a charity. It's something like the kind of things that we do, which links up those two. They basically find people that want help with this and then they identify suppliers that might be able to help them out with that. There's a lot of challenges with this. The electric grid right now is not ready to switch tomorrow. We would not be able to do so. The electric grid is not ready to handle this electricity. There is not enough trained professionals at this level that are able to do that, and particularly with tenement buildings. If you talk to someone and install heat pumps, you will find it difficult to find anyone to say that they've done so in a tenement building, and for the reasons that we explain. But I think these solutions are that you can overcome these, but it's going to take some time and it's going to be a bit rough on the edges of how we actually get there. But the one thing to stress is this is coming. And
yeah.
So like we talked about with the sort of reactive repairs, getting on top of this stuff. Now, we would definitely not encourage people to sort of drop money on a heat pump at this point if you're in a tenement building. But take a look at what you can do. And you might have some options as far as sort of pilot projects. You can get funding from government. There's Home Energy Scotland provides funding to install sort of zero systems. There's other options as far as potential funding with energy efficiency. So look and see what's out there. But a lot of it is just actually keeping up with what's going on and what the responsibilities are that you will have as a homeowner in a tenement flat. And then just keeping on top of that with you and talking to other what you can do to keep your building warm and eventually reducing the carbon footprint of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting space. I think we'll be providing a lot more information on ESPC.com in the future. We believe we almost have a responsibility, because as with any emerging sort of sector, we're going to have the people in it for the quick buck who maybe aren't going to do the right work or the, you know. So yeah, I think it's, yeah, changes here, I think. Brilliant. Mike, I think we covered pretty much everything we wanted to do today. I think that was absolutely, that was great. Lots of good advice. I just say, we really believe change is here, isn't it? This is not going to go away, and there's a, we're only going in one direction really with this now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The I mean, it's the and that is something that we're trying to adapt with as well. So we started off as an organization just to help owners with repairs and maintenance of their buildings, but retrofit is very quickly becoming part of and parcel of that. And one of the things that we're stressing too is the importance of the is a fabric first approach. Is that it doesn't make a lot of sense to insulate a cold and wet building. You really want to have a building that is in good stead. That is standing at the carbon footprint of replacing these buildings. I mean, I think I read that 60% of the carbon emissions of a new building comes from the construction of it. We want to keep these buildings. That's some of the best thing that we can do to reduce our carbon footprint, keep the building standing. And you can do that with regular repair and maintenance of the building. So, absolutely. If anyone has any, questions, something like that, please do come to our website. It's free. It's impartial information. And we're always happy to answer questions and more than happy to come back and chat with you again about this over the coming years.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. So that was our episode with Mike. We hope you liked this part two. Paul and I will be back next week with our much anticipated first-time buyer special. So be sure to come back next Thursday to see us then. Otherwise, have a nice week and speak to you later. Bye.